vocal choirs and to congregation for singing with us on those congregational songs. Great blessing. Now we remember the resurrection of Christ. We've acknowledged the resurrection of Christ by gathering here today. We prayed and thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've sung about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll leave this place, celebrate the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
And now a few choice words about baptism. I thought I might get your attention with that one. That's actually the title. A few words about baptism. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I hope you will soon see the connection here. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. I hope you quickly see we've returned to the theme of the resurrection, haven't we? But baptism phrases and words, we were baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized in reference to his death, baptized and like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not only the sign and the seal of the covenant of redemption, but it's also the picture and symbol of our identification with Jesus Christ in baptism. And so, let me challenge you. I think I appreciate your recognition of this day. I always say, and we are right to say it, every Lord's Day is Resurrection Sunday. That's how the Old Covenant was transferred to the New Covenant, from a day of worship on the sixth day, or seventh day of the week, a day of rest, to worship on the first day of the week, a day of celebration. So under the Old Covenant, it was work and then rest. Under the New Covenant, it's rest and then work. The Old Testament was never intended to save by works. There were pictures to show us that we're sinners. The law was a schoolmaster, a teacher, and really one lesson, you're a sinner, which leads you to conclude, I need a Savior. And the Old Testament looks to the New Testament to provide that Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. I have a question for you. Have you been baptized? Everyone here would be able to answer that question. I don't mean to shout out the answer. Without any reference to denominational affiliation or theological significance, have you been baptized? And some would answer in their heart, they would say yes. Some would say, well, I was baptized as a baby, or I was baptized some years ago. Some of you might conclude with me that baptism is following a profession of faith and identification of the believer with Jesus Christ. And you remember that you were baptized, and maybe you have a certificate about it, and you could answer that quickly. Some might say, I do not know. I do not know if I've been baptized. Some might say, well, maybe I've been baptized, but I'm not sure if it was baptism in accord with the New Testament. But everybody here would be able to answer that question, yes or no, or maybe I'm not sure. That's not really the most important question. I do think it is an important question because the New Testament makes much of it. I can't think of anything more glorious than a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And baptism not only pictures the death of Christ, but it pictures the resurrection of Christ. If the gospel is just the death of Christ, then it really is not the gospel. If the message is Christ died, well, many have died. It's appointed that a man wants to die. And some might say, but Jesus' death is much more poignant and painful, and he was such a good person, and maybe you think he was a good teacher, or he lived such a good life, and then he was betrayed and Maybe you think he was a martyr. Maybe you think he was unduly punished for the sins of others. And in some ways, you might be right. But you would have to admit that that hardly makes the death of Jesus Christ unique. That hardly makes the death of Jesus Christ a separate and distinct death from all the billions of other deaths that have occurred. One of the things the Bible makes clear is that as soon as Adam sinned, he was spiritually separated from God. He faced his eternal death, but he eventually faced physical death. You can't escape this. The history of the Old Testament is the history of people dying, people coming to the end of their years, whatever the length of their life. And so the gospel is not just that Christ died and was buried as proof of his death, but he rose from the dead. Now that is a spectacular, wonderful good news. Christ died, but he rose from the dead. Now, many of the Old Testament people and others think, well, yes, I think there's a resurrection someday. Maybe there will be an afterlife of some kind of thing. But Jesus' resurrection was not far off in some eschatological fulfillment. Jesus rose from the dead that Sunday morning after he was crucified.
Yeah.
It wasn't weeks and months and years and millennia. It was soon and very soon. Jesus Christ rose bodily, physically from the dead. And he proved himself alive. For 40 days he spent proving himself alive. No imagination here. No fictitious hallucination. No mass hysteria here. Jesus took 40 days to prove himself. Access infallible proofs. Proofs that satisfied a physician. Luke was a doctor. Proofs that satisfied the skeptics like Thomas. Proofs that satisfied the fearful and the deniers like Peter. Proof that set the apostles' hearts aflame, and they began to preach Christ without fear of imprisonment, without fear of punishment, without even the fear of death. They believe that Jesus has risen physically, bodily, literally from the grave. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again, and was seen as witnesses. The good news is that Jesus Christ does that for sinners. So, my tribute to baptism is, what a wonderful portrait that God would use this picture, the immersion in water and the resurrection out of the water, to remind us of what the gospel is. I'm quick to add that baptism is not the gospel. I didn't have any warrant for including baptism in this Resurrection Sunday message, except that Romans chapter 6 in the Bible makes it clear that baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As the person is buried in the water, they're raised up out of the water. That, he says in verse number 4, with him by baptism, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So the first question is, have you been baptized? Yes or no? I'm not sure. And the second question, in light of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in light of Resurrection Sunday, why were you baptized? You say, well, it was a custom. It was a tradition. Someone told me to do it. Someone had it done for me or to me. I really don't know. Maybe you have some assurance about this. Maybe it's like, well, everybody in my family was baptized, and so I was baptized, or it was the custom in our neighborhood, or it was the custom among the people I went to school with, and my friends got baptized, I got baptized. A lot of different reasons for people to be baptized. Now, I'm not suggesting that those are all good reasons, but they are reasons, and it happens a lot. It happens for a lot of variety of reasons. Sometimes people get baptized and they think, well, I got baptized because someone told me that if I got baptized, I would go to heaven. Now, I think you were not told the truth there, but I can appreciate your interest in it. If once someone says, here, do this, and your sins will be washed away, your sins will be forgiven. And it's very obvious there is something in the Bible about this, and there is some importance to it, and it's not hard for me to understand why people say, well, I guess if that's how you get saved, then, well, I want in on that. Why were you baptized? What I'm asking you today is I want you to consider this great picture in light of the reality. The picture of baptism only makes sense. It only has substance. It only has a glory in it if it really does picture the right thing. If it's a family tradition or a cultural appendage or just something people do, then it really doesn't have any real glory to it. It's just another custom or tradition. It might be sentimental. It might be pleasing to the family. But if you got baptized for the wrong reasons, you really miss the glory of it. You really miss the tribute that it is. You really miss the testimony the testimony that it's meant to be. And so think about that, and when you answer the question, why were you baptized? I suggest to you that even people in church were baptized for unclear reasons. Somebody told them that they had to do it, and they did. So that fault lies on their teachers and their disciples. But somehow that misses the glory of it. Somehow that misses the identification of it. Somehow that misses the amazing picture that Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 6. So why are we baptized? And then the last question is, should you be baptized? Should you be baptized? You say, well, Easter Sunday, that's kind of not really an appropriate time to talk about being baptized. Well, apparently Paul felt that it was a good topic to associate with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apparently Jesus felt that it was important to associate it with the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptize those who believe. Evidently Jesus expected that people who believe would also then follow in obedience and be baptized. And that baptism would be that uniform or that badge of identification that would identify believers, like-minded believers, together. And that baptism would be sort of a badge or a uniform. So the New Testament makes much of it. Now you must hear me, baptism does not save you. Of course, there are many examples in the New Testament of people who were never baptized, but I'm convinced they were saved. Everyone remembers the crucifixion of Christ and the thief who turned and asked Jesus Christ to remember him and receive him into his kingdom. And I believe that thief got saved, but it's very clear that he never followed the Lord in baptism or church membership or good works or good deeds. Other than the testimony that he gave from the cross, that thief had very little time to serve Jesus. But he did get saved. There are very clear examples of people who have trusted Christ, and either because they don't have an opportunity, or they are not taught, or they never understand. You don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. And I understand that's why some people say, well, okay, fine, but it can't be that important then. If it doesn't save you, then why would you even name your church after it? Why? Wouldn't it be better if you just called yourself the Gospel Church? I think, well, you know, it's got a nice ring to it. I think that's, I got no criticism of that word. I think that's a good word. Well, why would there be a whole group of people saying, you know, the thing that identifies us as like-minded believers is our baptism? Well, honestly, sincerely, we get it from the New Testament. We didn't devise this. We didn't design this. We find this in the New Testament that believers are to be baptized. me ask you these questions. Do you believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for our justification? We are celebrating Easter today. Whatever our culture makes of that word, I try to get to the resurrection as soon as possible because I'm not anti-Easter. I'm just saying I want to talk about the resurrection as quickly as I can. I want to get to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is very important. The older I get, the more funerals I've preached, the more funerals I've attended, the more cemeteries I've visited, the more deathbeds I've attended to it, I do emphatically realize that death is an enemy. This is not the way it was meant to be in creation before the fall. There was no death before the fall. There was no sin, which brings death, but there was no death. The older I get, the longer I live, and the more I witness death, the more outraged I am that death is such a terrible enemy. It's worse than disease. It's worse than disabilities. It's worse than dysfunction. And by the way, all those things are terrible. And our world is also cursed by disease and disabilities and dysfunction of all kinds of pains. And so I get that. But death is the greatest enemy. It is the final enemy. I know the Bible is trustworthy in what it has always taught me about death. How it comes as no respecter of persons. It doesn't even have respect for age or station in life or wealth or poverty. It has no respect for circumstance. My wife was reading to me a testimony of a young father who called home. And he had wanted to be home to get there in time to put his little boy to bed. And so as he was leaving work, he stopped and took a few moments and called his wife and he said, put the boy on the phone. And he talked to the little boy and he told him, you'll be asleep by the time I get there, but I love you and I wanted you to know why I couldn't be there. And he had a conversation. And he hung up the phone. The little boy went to bed. And before that dad got home, he entered out into eternity. He didn't make it all the way home. He meant to. His wife was watching. The little boy was expecting to wake up and see his daddy. But that conversation was their last conversation. I say, I heard that and I'm thinking, boy, I hate that. I just hate it. Now, some of you super spiritual people are running ahead of me saying, well, now the death is a friend of the believer. It takes us home, but just wait just a moment. I know that. I'll get there in a few minutes. I've still got five. But just wait a minute. I hate that. I hate going to funerals. I hate going to cemeteries. I hate getting calls about people whose loved ones have died. You say, but you've got the answers, and I know. But in that moment, all I can think about is, boy, I hate this. I hate this. But I tell you, in that moment, that's not the time to say, well, everything works out for the best. You'll find another husband. Or, oh, well, we all got to go sometime. That is not how I feel at that moment. And the older I get, the less and less I even think like that. Because I'm thinking, boy, I hate that. And I read about wars and mass murders, and I think sometimes the senselessness of the event and the circumstance, man, it's just outrageous. Now, I didn't come here this morning to preach to you about death, but if I didn't tell you about death, what sense would the resurrection make? The problem is we sort of got death kind of dressed up and kind of boxed out of our lives, and we're saying, yay, resurrection. But I'll tell you what, the more I hate death, the more I love the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The more I think about my loved ones, and I have some boxes of things. I've been going through my dad's Bibles, and there are at least a half a dozen Bibles that he had. And I've been looking through those Bibles, and one of them I picked out, and it's just falling apart. And my friend over in Illinois, he's gonna try to rebind it and keep pages together, and it's got some things in there, notes and things, and I want to try to salvage that Bible. But the other day I was just leafing through the Bible, and I came to some things. I don't know if you ever stick something in your Bible. You ever do that? Bulletin? A grocery list? Or your wife's picture? Something like that? Anybody? Maybe not. Maybe a little missionary card. Some of you got stuff in the Bible. I'm looking through my dad, and I'm finding stuff like this. And I'm finding notes that he made in his own handwriting. And I cherish that. You know what I said? I said, oh, I hate that. Went out to Crown Hill the other day to do another service. While I was there, I walked over to my dad's grave there, and I looked down at that headstone or that marker. And I said, I sure do miss you. I think he's got a great cloud of witnesses right now, but I don't know if he can hear me or see me. But I miss him. You know what? I hate that.
Right.
I hate it. But the more I hate death, the more I love the resurrection. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. It's not just my wish. It's not just a myth. It's not just a fable. I didn't go searching through philosophy trying to find a philosophy that would satisfy my curiosity. I have come to a historically verifiable, proven testimony that this man, Christ Jesus, proved himself to be God in the flesh by the miracles he performed, and then laid down his life and took it up again and infallibly proved himself alive. And I love the resurrection. I hope you, this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, have time today to say, well, I love the resurrection. There's no truth like the resurrection. There's no blessing. There's no mercy. There's no goodness in God like the resurrection. You believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for our justification. That's what he's saying in Romans chapter 4. If you get your Bibles open, verse 25 of chapter 4. Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Verse 24 said, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, because Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Christ died for me and he rose from the dead for me. Do you believe that? I'm not asking you if you join the church or try to live a good life or obey the golden rule or keep. I'm asking you, do you believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for you? If you've never said yes to that, I'm going to beg you to say yes right now, right where you're sitting. Say, I believe Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. And do you accept Jesus as your crucified Savior and risen Lord? Do you agree with God that you're a sinner? Agree with God that Jesus is the only Savior, then trust Him. Then what should I do? Then you should tell others that you've received Christ. Don't others need to hear the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? There isn't any stamp of endorsement that you can give any greater to another man, woman, boy, or girl and say, like, that's who I trust you for my salvation. I believe Jesus of Nazareth was God in the flesh, and he died for me on the cross, and his very rose again for me, and I'm trusting him. You need to trust him. You see, you can't just do that. If you're not really trusting Jesus for your salvation, Well, what good would you say? Like, well, I don't really believe that, but if it works for you, or if you want to be saved, or whatever be that religion, that's your business. The greatest endorsement you can do is admit that you are a sinner and you receive Christ as Savior. That's how you witness to others. And tell others to receive Christ as Savior. Then what next? Well, a few choice words about baptism. Why would we be baptized? Because Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. We need to put on the uniform of identifying with Christ. Oh, salvation takes place in the heart. With the heart you believe unto righteousness. With your mouth you make confession to it. But baptism is the portrait of your salvation. It's not your salvation, but it's a portrait of it. It's a picture of it. It's a snapshot of it, as if you will. And that's why every believer needs to be baptized. That's why every believer should have been baptized. And that's why baptism matters on resurrection Sunday. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the celebration of the resurrection. And I am so thankful that that last great enemy, death, has been conquered by Jesus Christ and will one day be absolutely destroyed. You promised us that when we get to heaven, there will be no more death. No more dying. No more funerals. No more cemeteries. No more broken hearts. No more weeping and sadness because of empty places in our homes, our hearts, our church, our communities. And Father, thank you for the picture of the resurrection, the death beyond resurrection. Help every Christian want to be a thankful and a joyful bearer of the uniform that baptism is. Maybe there's someone today who needs to follow Christ in salvation. Oh, they can do that right where they're sitting. Following Christ is not a physical act. It's a step of faith in the heart. But then they do need to come and let others know they have trusted Christ. And what a grand day, what a good day, Resurrection Sunday, to come and say, I want to put on the uniform of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to follow him in baptism. Be buried in water like he was buried in the ground. Be raised up out of the water like he was raised up from the earth. And celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, Christians who have followed you and are following you, help us to be encouraged. Help us to take heart. Sadness seems to overwhelm us sometimes, and separation seems to weaken us. But Father, give us hope of reunion days and resurrection days yet to come. And may this Resurrection Sunday be a blessing to us that our Lord and Savior has conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. Because he lives, we live, and we will ever live. In his name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.